sunshine go away today.
We may have a Texas way again.
Come on, people now.
To contribute generously to the Republic Broadcasting Network at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock. Did I say that right? 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Friendly operators will be standing by to take your money. Okay, Don. So it's been a little while since you've been on, and I'm sure there's a lot on your mind. Where do you want to start?
Well, gee, there's a lot. There's a lot in the news. There are a lot of things that are happening. We're heading into an election year, presidential election, and of course Congress, and I suppose a number of pivotal Senate seats are on. The big story, of course, is the October 7th explosion in the Middle East, which has created this huge war between the Palestinians and the Jewish state of Israel, which is generously supported by the United States. But there was an incident that caught my attention that happened before the great outbreak of this war and all of these things. And so much open criticism of Zionism and the Jews, I think that is, I think that is really a path-breaking and historic thing. But what happened in May, on May 20th of 23, was kind of an historic thing. It didn't receive much coverage, but I think it was significant, and I'd like to talk about it. What happened in May of 2023 in Saudi Arabia is that there was an international conference of the Arab League. And one of the events that happened at this conference was the readmission of the state of Syria after having been suspended, I think, in 2011 or something like that, supposedly for war crimes or violations of democratic laws or something, like trying to take the opposing candidate off the ballot and, you know, that kind of thing. But the point is, Syria was readmitted. Syria is led by a very brave, courageous leader named Bashar al-Assad. And Assad was, I think he was second or third in line. His father was a Syrian strongman. His older brother, who was next in line, was killed in a car accident or something. And so it fell upon Bashar Assad, the younger son, to assume the leadership, the mantle of leadership in Syria.
And I just want to interject for one second. Bashar al-Assad was not expecting any of this at the time. He was living in London as an eye surgeon. Is that correct?
Yeah, he actually, unlike so many people who end up in politics, this man actually had a career and a livelihood. Very well-educated, very cultured man. I'm kind of a fan of his. I've watched as many of his interviews and as many of his speeches as I can find, and He's a very cultured, patient man. He speaks very well, although he does not speak English. He speaks in Syrian, but you can see there are interpreters and there are subtitles. And he's really a pleasure to watch.
I have seen him speak English. He has an accent. It's obviously not a native language for him, but he speaks English quite well.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Seems like all the interviews I've seen with him, there were subheads or translators. In any event, whether he speaks English or he's interpreted, he's really a pleasure to watch and a pleasure to listen to, because he's such a gentleman. he look at this lunatic we have in the White House now, and the contrast could not be more striking or more startling. It is astonishing to think that a relatively small and inconsequential country like Syria could have such a cultured and a gracious leader, and we, the most powerful country in the world, end up with somebody who can barely string two sentences together. In any case, Syria was readmitted to the Arab League, and they had a conference in Saudi Arabia, and he was invited to attend, and he gave a brief speech, about 5 minutes long, about 840 words, not very long, but he made some very interesting remarks. And what is the Arab League? The Arab League is a regional organization of Arabic states, the purpose of which is to draw closer the relations between the member states and coordinate and safeguard their independence and sovereignty, all kinds of platitudes that we hear. The Arab League was originally formed in 1945, and there were six members, including Egypt, Syria, Jordan, I think Saudi Arabia, and Lebanon. The current member states are 22, and they go from Iraq, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Somalia, Egypt, Libya, Algeria, and Morocco, and several others, including the Sudan, and I think Mauritania. That's 22 states, and if you look at these states on a map, the entire southern coast, the entire eastern coast of the Mediterranean is Arab League states. Neither Turkey nor Iran have ever been members. I was kind of surprised that Iran is not a member. Ordinarily, we think of Iran as a Middle Eastern state, as an Arabic state, but it has never been a member of the Arab League. Now, through the it's kind of a tumultuous history. At different times, different members were suspended and kicked out, and then they were readmitted. Egypt was kicked out at one point in time because they entered a treaty with Israel, and I think Libya was kicked out, but they were readmitted. In any event, they have 22 members, and they had this great summit in Arabia, and Bashar Assad appeared there, and you can see video of this, and he's escorted in, and it's quite an elaborate thing. It's a beautiful conference room, and these people are all there and very dignified, very civil, very calm, very cultured, and he gave a brief speech, and I'm going to read a little bit of it. I think it is very interesting in its his sense of the problems in the world and the problems especially in the Middle East, which he attributes to Western liberalism. And this is what he says: where does one begin his speech when dangers are no longer imminent but realized? It begins with hope that motivates achievement and action. When ailments accumulate, the doctor can treat them individually, provided that he treats the underlying disease that causes them. Therefore, we have to search for the major titles that threaten our future and produce our crises, so we do not drown future generations. And he says this, he says, threats contain dangers and opportunities, and today we are facing the opportunity of the international situation. Change, which appears in a multipolar world as the result of the domination of the West, devoid of principles, morals, friends, and partners. Mm-hmm. It is an opportunity to consolidate our culture in the face of the upcoming meltdown with modern liberalism that targets the innate affiliations of men and strips him of his morals and identity, with the aim of making it a state of conflict with the national, ethnic, and religious components, so it dies and our societies die with it in its struggle with itself and not with others. And it's those are the important parts of the speech. It's a wonderful speech. It's only about 844 words long. You can easily find it and read the whole thing. But This is a man at an international conference, a man who has been beleaguered by the United States and Israel for the last decade, and he is meeting with 22 very pivotal and important countries, and look at how clearly and how unambiguously he identifies the world problems as the degeneracy and the modern, what he calls modern liberalism, which targets the innate affiliations of man and strips him of his morality and his identity. And he affirms the rights of countries to control their own internal affairs. It's really a very nice speech, but it jumped out at me how insightful this man is and how brave he is for his willingness to say these things, not quietly and discreetly behind closed doors, but right out in the open. And I think that is an interesting event. And he talks about the meltdown coming. That's one of the terms he uses. And what happened in October? We had this huge explosion and this huge alignment of anti-Israel, anti-Zionist people in that region. So I think it was a very prescient speech. It had a lot of fundamental truths expressed in it. And I think it is a good thing that people on the other side of the world have so much clarity, and a tragic thing that the people who run our country are so dishonest and so lacking of that same moral and intellectual clarity.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment of Bashar al-Assad completely. And he's a very serious person. He's a very capable person. And you hear these people, you hear the people who are supposed to be the big villains, they're made up as the big villains presented to us, like Vladimir Putin, like Xi Jinping, Bashar al-Assad. These are very serious people. They're very capable people. Often, sometimes you'll see an interview with a foreign leader. I saw an interview in the English language with the then Prime Minister of Pakistan. Oh, the cricket player. You know who I'm talking about. Imran Khan, right? Imran Khan.
Right.
And I don't know really what his politics are, but he was being asked questions by a rather silly BBC reporter. And he made the reporter look silly. I mean, the reporter was just asking questions, about feminism and things like that. And so many of these foreign leaders are serious people. And then you look at not just the United States, but obviously the United States, but you look at the European countries, you look at our so-called allies, the quality of leadership in Germany, in England, in Canada, Macron, a very strange person. Macron, he's married to a woman 26 years older than him. He's just appointed a 34-year-old gay Jew to be his prime minister, and the gay Jew just appointed his own husband as the foreign minister. I mean, we don't have serious leadership on this side, and perhaps it's because our so-called leadership are they're pawns, they're puppets. We've got a Jewish Zionist power structure that is that so dominates our governments, our political systems. And if you think our administrations are jokes, then you look at Congress, and it's even worse. One point I want to make regarding Iran, Iran actually it does have an Arab speaking minority, but the majority in Iran is Persian speaking. They're Farsi speaking, and Farsi is a language. Actually, it's an Indo-European language, more related to English than to Arabic. But they have a very long. Oh, and Iran. The word Iran comes from the word Aryan. So does the word Ireland. Ireland, Iran, and Aryan all come from the same root. Indo-European word, which I believe means noble. I just thought I'd throw that in. Have you ever heard that, Don?
No, I haven't. I have not heard that. I am aware. Well, Iran used to be called Persia, I think until the mid-1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And Iran was considered to be a cultural, a reliable and a friendly cultural neighbor of India. There were very strong ties between India and Iran, or Persia, sorry. Interestingly enough, Iran, kind of off the subject, but we're always told Iran is the great devil, the great danger, the great terrorist threat, the great globalist threat. Iran has not invaded another country in 600 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been invaded and occupied by so-called allies in World War One, and again in World War Two. It was invaded and occupied by the Soviet Union and the British, notwithstanding its neutrality. It was a neutral country that tried to stay out of the war completely. So it's an interesting country, and I think a very powerful and influential one.
And it's, yeah, and then of course don't forget the United States CIA engineered coup. I think it was called Operation Ajax. Was that 1952 or 53? I think it was 52. Led by Kermit Roosevelt, who was the grandson, I believe, of Theodore Roosevelt, and Kermit Roosevelt and his lieutenant in the Operation Ajax, which overthrew the prime minister of Iran and installed the young Shah as a dictator, was Norman Schwarzkopf Sr. Where have we heard that name Norman Schwarzkopf before? Stormin' Norman from the
right.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. But
he was the commander in the first. Go ahead.
So, and it just this month, it joined the BRICS grouping. It, along with Saudi Arabia, and of course, Saudi Arabia and Iran just signed a peace deal last year, brokered by China. So, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and Ethiopia just joined the BRICS grouping, which is becoming a very serious counterweight. To counterweight to the G7, to these Western countries, and I'd say more than a counterweight, because I think really we're entering an era where these BRICS countries are going to be the dominant diplomatic grouping in the world.
Well, I think that's you know, it sounds ironic that I should rejoice in the decline in power of my own country, but the power of my own country has not been exercised on behalf of the citizens of my own country in my entire lifetime, and probably a good deal before that. So the decline of power it's very interesting. You know, we talk about the use of, there's a controversy now about whether Trump should, if elected, would use the armed forces to put down civilian dissent and all that sort of thing. I was reading about the history of the John F. Kennedy administration and the Kennedys, and we all know, of course, about the Eisenhower decision in 1957 to deploy the 101st Airborne Division against the white citizens of Little Rock, Arkansas, weren't even rioting. They were just protesting against the forced integration of their schools. And they were met with United States soldiers, regular army, with rifles and fixed bayonets.
Thank you for all the joy and pain.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And the gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Protesting against the forced integration of their schools. And they were met with United States soldiers, regular army with rifles and fixed bayonets. And I continue to research this issue of the use of the army against against domestic people. And it turns out when James Meredith was being was being ordered to be admitted into Ole Miss in the state of Mississippi in the early 60s, in the early years of the Kennedy administration, JFK massed 30,000 troops. That's 30,000 troops to deal with what he called a riot of white people against that event and protest by white people. When the invasion of Tarawa was launched, the basic invasion force was 30,000 troops. How incredible that the same number of troops who were used to fight one of the bloodiest battles against in a declared war against a sophisticated, well-led enemy, the same number of troops were deployed against unarmed civilian dissenters in the United States. I have never heard in my entire life, in all of the student demonstrations that we had in the 60s and all the civil rights demonstrations and the riots, the Rodney King riots, I think in 92, and of course the Black Lives Matter riots, and the attacks on a federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon. I am not aware of a single incident where the United States Armed Forces were brought to bear against any of the blacks and the other rioters who looted businesses and burned down cities. Here in California, we had, during that era, the Ronald Reagan and the Pat Brown era, we had a lot of student riots and student shutdowns of administration. Basically, essentially, nothing was ever done. Not a single United States Army or Marine person was ever deployed against that. So I think it's important to have a sense of perspective on this and a sense of why JFK was so passionately hated in so many parts of the country. We see this effort to rehabilitate his very controversial presidency and to reinvent him as some kind of Christ-like figure, you know, who came down off the cross to save America and end the war and end poverty and injustice and all these things. And in point of fact, he was a very cynical, very, very tyrannical leader by modern standards. Likewise, Lyndon Johnson deployed armed forces there were the three civil rights workers who were murdered in Mississippi, and Lyndon Johnson employed the Navy, employed armed forces to go out and assist local law enforcement and, you know, beating the bushes and trying to find where these people were buried. So it is the Democratic Party and even the Republican Party that has been instrumental. A moderate Republican like Dwight Eisenhower, who's instrumental in the use of the United States Army against the American people.
Mm-hmm. So, James, you mentioned James Meredith, and he was a young black student who enrolled at the University of Mississippi, thus integrating the school. And unless I'm very much mistaken, I think he went on to have kind of a change of heart about some of these things. And didn't he endorse David Duke when David Duke ran for governor of Louisiana?
You know, I remember that he had some change of heart, as you call it, in perspectives. I don't know if he ever endorsed David Duke or not. I'm not that
one of those people who was famous for integrating a school, and I can't check it now because I'm driving, but I might check it and insert something into the show afterwards. But I think it was James Meredith. At any rate, these people like Kennedy, a lot of these leaders, they're mixed bags, and it's not fair, and it's not accurate to make them out into, you know, heroes, Christ-like characters, and often even to completely vilify them. You get somebody like Kennedy, and you've pointed out some major flaws. A lot of the rehabilitation of Kennedy is on the assumption that he was assassinated because he was trying to keep Israel from getting a nuclear bomb. And there is a certain amount of evidence that that might have been the case. I can't tell you. I guess Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment, which I have not read, I think it makes that case. And if that's the case, then, you know, that is something to be said for John F. Kennedy. But he made big mistakes as well. You know, Nixon, we have tapes of Nixon talking about the power of the Jews and having, I guess he had, did he have Haldeman make a list of Jews within the administration? But, you know, he had Kissinger running his foreign policy. It was a foreign policy that dragged on the Vietnam War longer than it needed to be. And, you know, but even then.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was quickie qual, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
But, you know, he also, he had Kissinger running his foreign policy. It was a foreign policy that dragged on the Vietnam War longer than it needed to be. And, you know, but even then, you could look at Kennedy, you could look at Nixon, and for all their faults, they're probably still considerably more serious people than the types that we have nowadays. You know, certainly Biden, but you look at most of the people we have nowadays, most of the people who have run for president over the past several election cycles, and how much positive can you really say about them? It's pretty bad. The one person that I think, unless you want to go in a different direction, that I'd ask you about is Donald Trump. We had 4 years of him. We may get some more years of him. Do you think he's learned anything? What do you make of Donald Trump in 2024?
Well, he can't help but have learned something. With all the legal problems that he has and the many millions of dollars that he has lost, he's the only president in my lifetime, the possible exception of Harry Truman, who did not enrich himself in the White House or in the aftermath of it. It seems like all of these people leave the presidency and they've got multi-million-dollar book deals, and they continue to pile up bribe money even after they're out of the office, which seems extraordinary to me. But Donald Trump is the only one who has lost net worth and lost an enormous amount of money by rising to the presidency. It is as though the presidency has been kind of a curse for him rather than a benefit. I think he has learned a lot. The question is, will he do anything differently? I certainly hope he does. I don't see how he can help but do something differently now. You know, We have really no choice but to gamble on Trump. Mm. We really have no choice. He's done, separate and apart from his failures or his omissions as the president and the mistakes that he made, he has so completely changed the perception in this country. He has drawn the line between nationalism and globalism openly. He has resurrected the concept and the slogan of America First. And he is, he's not really run an explicitly racial pro-white campaign, but if you look at his supporters and look at the audiences, you know, white, he has given white people a standard to which we can rally.
I think he has created an atmosphere. While he wasn't explicitly pro-white, he was implicitly pro-white, or at least implicitly white, even though I guess he's explicitly orange. But he created an atmosphere in which he was being attacked so much for white supremacy, even though he was, like I say, like you said, he was not explicitly pro-white, but he was attacked so much, it created an atmosphere in which lots of people could come out and say, could make statements that probably would never have been made before. Unfortunately, I mean, not enough white people have come out and said that, but you got people like Candace Owens. You get some black people, even like Kanye West a year ago, who were coming out and saying pretty pro-white things. The whites. And now you got that Vivek Ramaswamy. And he had a campaign event in Iowa, because the Iowa caucus is, what is it, tomorrow as we speak. It's yesterday as the listeners hear this. And he had an event with Candace Owens, who I just mentioned, a black conservative commentator, right. Representative Stephen King of Iowa. He's Stephen King. He was from Iowa. And the three of them got together. And, of course, Stephen King had been basically pushed out of Congress for making a pro-white statement, saying he doesn't care, you know, what's so bad about, you know, white supremacy or something like that. He got kicked out of Congress, essentially, for making one pro-white statement. And when the three of them were together, Vivek Ramaswamy made some sort of quip about, oh yeah, this is a meeting of the leading white nationalist, or the leading white supremacists in the country. Well, either white supremacy or brown supremacy, because, you know, two of the three were not even white. But it's kind of a shame that you're having so few white people being bold enough to talk about white interests. But it is an interesting phenomenon that you have a few non-whites who are raising the issue, and hopefully that'll make it easier to talk about. I don't know. What do you think about that phenomenon of a few of these non-whites going around and talking about white replacement, and as if it's alarming, as if it's something undesirable? You don't want white replacement. What do you think about that?
Well, I think anytime anybody tells the truth and, you know, opens up the dialogue into heretofore forbidden areas, I think it's a good thing. I've heard some of Candace Owens' stuff on the YouTube channel, and she's pretty good on a lot of issues. Vivek, he's pretty good too on some issues, but a lot of people are good when they're out debating and they're trying to pick up votes. I don't think we should rely on these people to save us. We're going to have to rely on our own courage and our own resolve, and we're going to have to summon some of that courage. But I think it is a good thing that the blacks and the non-white conservatives are coming out and talking this way, because they can say these things in a way that we cannot. I think Kanye West, however questionable he may be in some of his presentation, made a contribution. He openly named a Jew. He openly talked about the power that they had. And there were other people who talked about those things. The comedian
Dave Chappelle. Yeah.
He talked about it. And I think anytime anybody openly talks about Jewish power, I don't care who they are, that is a good thing. West was a serious person. He was highly regarded. He was a very wealthy man. He may not be quite so wealthy now.
Who's that? Who are you talking about?
Kanye West.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, he was very wealthy.
And I don't know how wealthy he is now, but he did open some doors. He did crack open the door. And I'll tell you something else I'm noticing. Tucker Carlson is getting more, he's getting much more closer to us. There was a Turning Point USA, they call it. And he was in an interview with Tim Pool, who was a colorblind conservative. And he was openly talking about anti-white, the race war being waged against white people. He is openly talking about this and talked about it for 15 minutes. And he said if Nikki Haley was part of the ticket, he would not support the Trump ticket. He would actively oppose it.
I that's the same way I feel. I feel, just like you said, we need to take a gamble on Trump. There's no alternative. Except if Nikki Haley was the running mate, she's assassination bait. Forget about Trump. He wouldn't be president. It would be Nikki Haley. And so if Nikki Haley, I don't think it's going to happen. I think too many bridges have been burnt, but you never know if Trump makes bad personnel decisions. If she was the running mate against Biden and Harris, I would prefer Biden and Harris because they might be just as awful as Nikki Haley, but they're less competent. And if you're going to have awful people, we don't need competent or we want incompetency in our awful people. That's what we want. Given a choice.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. So in politics, who said politics makes for strange bedfellows? You remember that saying?
I know the saying, but I don't recall who said it. Probably Shakespeare. It seems like every profound statement owes its origins either to George Bernard Shaw or Shakespeare.
Or Jesus. Or Jesus. I read the Old Testament last year, really for the first time. And I was surprised how many of sayings that are in our English language that are just very common actually came from the Gospels.
Yeah.
Surprising. But it makes for strange bedfellows. And right now, you mentioned earlier the Israeli war on Gaza, and you've got all of these people who were and are anti-white, but they're out and they are very critical of Israel, and they're getting smacked down. Students, the squad members in Congress, they're being attacked viciously by Jewish power. Now, they were not on our side of very many issues for a long time, but all of a sudden they're coming out and they're being very anti-Israel, and I welcome it. It's weird. Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and some of the newer people. There's from St. Louis, there's Congresswoman something Love, and there's a Congresswoman Summer Lee Blacks. There's a black guy too who's in the squad. I would have had zero use for them, but now they're being targeted by AIPAC. AIPAC is spending huge amounts of money trying to get these blacks out of Congress, these blacks and Muslims out of Congress. And, I stand with the crazy black lady. That's all I can say. So, it does. Sometimes these people, sometimes people that you wouldn't agree with on anything else will come through. And they're coming through because I think in large part because they see the Jews in Israel as doing white supremacy at brown Palestinians. But the fact that they're going to get attacked by Jews and their very careers are at stake. We might get some breakthroughs there with people starting to talk about Jewish power, not simply the pro-Israel lobby or the Israel lobby or Zionism or something. We'll see. What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I don't think these women, Tlaib and these others, are ever going to be on our side of anything. But if they if they are against our enemies and they are, you know, they're throwing themselves on the tracks in front of the Jewish freight train that is barreling down the tracks, good for them. Let them face some of that kind of treatment. Interesting, there's a huge clash between at the Daily Wire, this conservative media outlet, with Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens, and Ben Shapiro and Tucker Carlson have really been going at it. And there was a huge Tucker Carlson talked. He didn't even name Ben Shapiro by name. He just said there are people in our movement who for the last 3 months have been obsessed with everything going on in the Middle East, but haven't had a word to say about 100,000 Americans poisoned and killed by fentanyl. And yappy rat-faced Ben Shapiro starts with a, you know, coming back and attacking and blah, 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 and anti-Semitism and the whole thing. There's a rabid dog quality about these people, a mad dog quality. And I think it's becoming more and more apparent and more and more objectionable. And it's not a terribly scientific study, but I watched the comments at Breitbart and Gateway Pundit, and people are becoming more and more rank and file people are becoming openly Jew aware. I mean, they talk about the Jews, they call them the chosen people, and they have little code words they use to avoid being banned, to avoid being kicked out by the the artificial intelligence that watches for that kind of thing. But there's a greater awakening, a greater awareness of Jewish power, and B, there is a greater awareness of rank and file people openly to talk about it. These are all good things.
Yeah, and so there's a lot going on domestically, but earlier in the show you started off talking about Syria and internationally there's so much going on, and even if somebody feels hopeless about the situation within the United States, internationally, there's so much going on. There's this complete reordering of the of world politics, and the United States, I think, is no longer as we can witness with what's going on in Ukraine, and I think what we will witness with what happens this year in the Middle East. The United States is no longer in a position that it can impose itself, impose its will on the rest of the world, and you know. Is that a cat?
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. We've had dogs bark on the show before. This is the first time we've had a cat.
Yeah, my cat, she wants something. She gets what she wants, and then she disappears for the rest of the day, and then she comes out of her hiding place, wherever it is. I've never been able to find it, but she makes her presence known and contributes to the to the show in some small respect. But you were right. Say, I Googled James Meredith. In 1991, he did endorse David Duke. Meredith, who said the public perception of Duke as a racist is wrong, said he supports Duke because his campaign best suits the Meredith agenda, which is to challenge the Eastern liberal Republican establishment, and that includes President Bush. This was April 1991.
Okay. I'll take that.
You were right.
Yeah, you never know, and it's not as if I agree with Steve Bannon that, oh, we've got to have some alliance between whites and blacks, and then we'll rule for 1,000 years, or I guess he said 100 years. But, and I don't think the majority of blacks are going to side with whites on politically for the most part. But there is some common ground. It's kind of funny that you're seeing some of these black mayors, like in New York and in Chicago, who are being inundated with illegal aliens, are now alarmed at the southern border issue. And there is a certain amount of, sometimes there's some awareness that that black interests are not really being very well served by the, whether they recognize it as such or not, by the, you know, the Jewish dominators of society. And then there are, I think, especially black men, older black men, what do they really get out of the system, the older black men? And so you get, you know, you get the phenomenon of people like Jesse Lee Peterson or Reverend Manning, who look back and say, you know, actually,
who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Oh, I mean bad. Bad.
What do they really get out of the system, the older black men? And so you get, you know, you get the phenomenon of people like Jesse Lee Peterson or Reverend Manning, who look back and say, you know, actually, Jim Crow really wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as they say. It's an interesting phenomenon, but obviously, it's not as if what we need to do is start pandering to blacks in order to save ourselves. But you know, it is true that sometimes there is a congruence of interest.
Well, I think there certainly should be. The blacks here in Los Angeles, we have seen traditionally black neighborhoods completely overrun by Mexicans. There are parts of this town. This is very well known, very well talked about. There are parts of this town where a black man shows up, he can be shot on sight by Mexicans because there is that much hatred and enmity between the two races. And of course, black and Mexican prison gangs, they murder each other and kill each other all the time. And, you know, inside the prisons, these people are constantly at each other's throats. So I think it's, I think it's a good thing that, you know, these so-called migrants, you know, are showing up in these black cities, and blacks are getting a taste of what they have wished on the rest of us for a long time. They thought anything that hurts white people is good. And they've sort of been in that frame of mind. But now we're seeing in New York and Chicago, you know, I've heard this story about the black vote is going to change and they're going to see the light and come to our side. I don't think that's ever going to happen. But there has to be some sense of awakening. And you see this in the anger in some of these black people, that they are basically being sold out. Now you've got this situation in New York where they're shutting down, they're kicking the American children out of the schools and opening up some high school for illegal aliens to come and sleep in. And they're asking the residents, the American citizens, to open their homes to migrants. You know, we saw when some migrants were shipped into Martha's Vineyard, they weren't that thrilled about opening their homes to them there, you know, the Obamas and the Kennedys and all these other people.
Yeah, they're asking them to open it now because it's cold outside. Well, you know where it's not cold? Down in Mexico. It's not cold there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But they're climate refugees, right? They're climate refugees. They have to come to where it's really cold.
And yeah, they run away from a benign, warm climate to a place where they can freeze to death and be subject to blizzards. I've never heard of anybody doing that. I've heard of plenty of people fleeing from the northern cold countries to come to Arizona and Southern California, though.
Yeah. Come, hang out, go to Hawaii, hang out on the beach. Yeah, that's why everybody was California dreaming once upon a time. It was nice weather. Well, listen, Don, it's been a great deal of fun, but this is pretty much the end of the show. Are you going to come back again soon?
Yeah, I would love to.
That sounds good. Okay, well, thank you very much. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
Listen to me!
Little Red Riding Hood, I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.